You're listening to Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North. Thanks so much for being with us. Today is the middle day of the International Society of Arboriculture's annual three-day conference. Arborists from around the world are in Milwaukee to discuss best practices and to share information about how to protect and nurture our urban canopy. And as you might guess, it takes some work to keep it healthy. Local arborists tackle everything from invasive species like the emerald ash borer to everyday stressors like road salt and drought. Ian Brown is an Urban Forestry Technical Services Manager and ISA Certified Arborist Municipal Specialist for the City of Milwaukee. And Eric Peterson is also a trained Urban Forestry Specialist and is the President of the Wisconsin Arborist Association. They join me in the studio now. Gentlemen, welcome to Lake Effect. Thanks so much for stopping in this morning.
Oh, thank you, Bonnie. We appreciate being here.
Thank you very much.
When most of us think of forests, we tend to think of them as opposite of urban. Yet, Ian, you're a specialist in something called urban forestry for the city. So let's start there. Can you tell me what urban forestry is and why it's important?
Both Eric and I went to school for urban forestry. This is a profession that you go to school, either 2 or 4 year degree to get trained in. And it is really, I think of it as trees and people together. So a lot of times people think, oh, you know, I have to drive to the Northwoods or go someplace to be among the forest and among the trees. But many of us already have trees in our backyard. In the city of Milwaukee, we have street trees in our front yard that the city actually owns and maintains. So the urban forest is trees among populations of people, generally speaking.
Okay, so as opposed to forests, I think of forests as trees, but also other plants and things too. But it's much more specific here. It's trees. You're not talking about bushes and other kinds of plants.
I think those get incorporated too. What we've been working with as a profession is helping to get greater appreciation for trees. So historically, people see trees and they're like, oh, that's nice. And they provide shade. They're pretty. And that's about it. But when it comes to, you know, especially municipal budgets or, you know, hiring a private professional tree care company to do work, you really need to see the value that's coming back to be able to appreciate what's going on. So we've started really pushing for a new term. It's green infrastructure is what these trees and other green space have. Think of many street trees. You know, they're overhanging impervious surface. Milwaukee has a stormwater issue. So when we get storm events, those trees help to intercept some of that stormwater. There's a dollar value associated with that. Trees in the front yard help to beautify your property so you can sell your house either quicker or for more money. There's a dollar value associated with that. So what we're trying to do is help the public at large understand and appreciate that there is a very valuable resource that's growing in their front yard or around their property. And it's a resource worth investing in.
Well, it's also the lungs of the city, too, right? I mean, trees and all plants give us oxygen.
For yes. Sure.
So, Eric, from your perspective, you're working with the whole state, right? It's not just Milwaukee, unlike Ian.
That is correct. Right. Yep. As part of the Wisconsin Arborist Association, we're actually a chapter of the International Society of Arboriculture. So the Wisconsin Arborist Association represents urban foresters, private commercial arborists all across the state. So we see challenges in the rural settings as well as in the city settings. And it's pretty neat to see the commonality of the same issues throughout the whole state that the city of Milwaukee is facing, as well as Green Bay or La Crosse or you name the city in Wisconsin.
So what are some of the threats to the health of the urban forest, wherever it happens to be?
Well, I think one that's front and center right now is emerald ash borer. That's what's definitely carrying the torch as far as getting us in front of people. Eric and I are both younger, newer to the profession. I really do see EAB as our generation's Dutch elms disease. So that's something that, you know, definitely swept through Milwaukee and the Midwest, devastating urban canopies. And, you know, we here in Milwaukee have actually started to do some preliminary research to quantify the amount of canopy loss that we had. And what we're seeing just anecdotally on the front end is we still have not recovered in the Milwaukee area from the elm canopy that used to be there pre-DED to right now. And now we're looking and staring emerald ash borer in the face. And this has another potential to really impact our urban forest. So, you know, we're trying to get up there front and center again to say, You know, your trees are there. Trees are different than a lot of other resources. You can't just go and buy, you know, a 40-year-old tree with mature canopy. You have to plant it and wait 40 years for it to grow. So in a lot of situations, especially with our ash trees here in Milwaukee, they're pretty large mature trees that we're seeing a lot of benefits from right now. The people that live in front of those houses, the people that live in our community right now, unless they're quite young, will very likely never see another tree in its same location of that same size within their lifetime. So, you know, these trees, to really see, you know, the majority of the return on your investment, they need to be in the landscape for, you know, 40, 60, 80 years. And there really isn't a reason why they shouldn't be able to be there. But urban areas are tough on trees, same as they can be tough on people. You know, you have a lot of kind of drought stress, you know, lack of moisture, high salt content because we salt our streets, urban soil compaction, urban heat island effect, any of those things can make it very difficult for a tree to live, thrive, survive in an urban area. And that's why there are professionals out there to help make sure that those trees are put in a position to succeed.
So what's happening that's a positive in the urban forests in Wisconsin? What are some of the things you can point to that, you know, tally up on the good side of things?
With the Wisconsin Arborist Association and with Emerald Ash Borer, seeing the devastation it's caused in Michigan and Indiana and Illinois, coming now to Wisconsin and becoming our major issue that we're having from a single pest problem, the community and the network and the resources that everyone's putting together to try to handle it the most appropriately, to contain it as best as we can, has been a team effort and has been exciting to watch unfold. And really, the sharing of information will allow this industry to grow in the future faster, more cohesive, and really looking at not just the community of Milwaukee, but the community of Milwaukee and Wauwatosa and Franklin and how everything fits together on a broader scale. That's what's exciting from the state perspective.
I'll expand even a little bit further there. Since we're currently hosting the International Society of Arboriculture annual conference, we'll have anywhere from 2,000 to 2,500 individuals from around the world that are descending on Milwaukee to share their professional experience and expertise during the conference that's currently being hosted here. That's a really cool opportunity for Milwaukee. It speaks volumes about Wisconsin forestry, Milwaukee forestry, and the support that we have from ISA. As far as partnerships go, too, you know, I feel very confident where Milwaukee is positioned as we're kind of battling Emerald Ash Borer. You know, it's come in our area. It is present throughout southeast Wisconsin now. Whether it's been confirmed or not, I think there's general consensus among professionals that it's basically here. It's just a matter of whether you find it. We were very fortunate that we've been able to build off of the experiences of others that found it before us, looking to Detroit, Toledo, Chicago, other places that have had to deal with this wall of wood that's caused by the devastation in EAB's wake if you do nothing or if you find it, you know, too late. There's a lot of research that's going on at the university level to identify management strategies, effective treatments, alternative strategies to just removal and replacement. And so a lot of that's been funded through the ISA Tree Fund, partnerships between universities, partnerships between universities in the state, and even private tree care has got involved too because they have their own research arm with some of these larger companies. So we're really kind of standing on the backs of those that have come before us to make sure that Wisconsin doesn't see the same level of devastation that we would potentially have had we not been able to learn from the past 6, 7, 10 years of EAB experience.
So if there's anything positive out of the Emerald Ash Borer, it's the fact that it's brought all of you together and all of these resources are coming to play in saving our forests.
Oh, absolutely. And I think looking forward, yes, we're battling EAB right now, but this is a global economy and we're going to have more global pests that are either imported or exported throughout the world. And, you know, having the International Society of Arboriculture there to help facilitate that informational transfer really positions us well as a profession to help move urban trees, urban tree appreciation, and arboriculture as a whole forward within the world. Our urban areas are growing. We're going to want green space. We're going to need green space, to be quite frank with you. And that's the role of the professional. We're not hacks out there with chainsaws. I mean, we're trained in what we do. There are international certifications that individuals can pursue and have advertised for and with. And so that's something that we as an organization also help to try and move forward to, is helping the public appreciate that, you know, when you go out and you hire a certified arborist or a accredited tree care company, yes, you probably will pay a little bit more, but you get what you pay for, and they're going to do a professional job. They're going to clean up well. They're going to be insured. They're going to carry the torch for our profession how we would want, versus come in, do a lowball job, get in, get out, and however things work out, they work out.
Are there things that you're both particularly looking forward to taking advantage of during this conference time? Because we've got 3 days here. We're right in the middle of it right now. People you want to talk to or things you want to learn?
I think the neatest thing is that it is an international conference. So we can talk to people from New Zealand. We can talk to people from Poland. We can talk to people from England, really all over the world. There's 36 countries represented. And even though each country is maybe at a different stage in the level and the development of the industry, they're all facing similar issues, whether it's budget constraints or how to deal with a tree that's leaning over a street, whatever it might be. It's really neat to hear their story, and it helps us realize we're together with this. We're not alone in Wisconsin or in Milwaukee, that it's really issues that we all face. And talking to someone from overseas is pretty neat when they're talking the same language of tree language.
The tree language, I love it. And for you, Ian?
I think just trying to be immersed and experiencing as much as I can. You know, there's a whole range of educational sessions. There are social events in the evening to, you know, try and just build that camaraderie between individuals in the same industry. This last weekend, we had the tree climbing competition, which is actually a really unique event where we had the best tree climbers in the world that were here showcasing their skills and crowning a world champion here in Milwaukee. So, you know, I think that's really interesting. It's unique, and it really helps to draw focus to Milwaukee's place in urban forestry, which I think is very well positioned going forward.
If there was one thing that you could tell our listeners that they could do to help urban forestry, help Milwaukee, help if they happen to be outside of Milwaukee, what would be the thing that they could do to help trees and help our urban forests?
I think in general, just expanding the appreciation, knowledge for urban trees. A lot of times there's something that's kind of there and we almost look past them. But when I sit down and talk with, you know, even students about what the tree is, the things that it gives back, the benefits that it provides, like, wow, you know, that's actually quite a bit. And all we have to do is let it grow. You know, there's been a lot of economic research associated with where the dollars go associated with tree management and the benefits that we receive. In the Midwest, it's about a 3-to-1 benefit to cost ratio. So that's a pretty good investment, you know, including all the expense of planting, pruning, even up to removal. The benefits that we're getting, the stormwater benefits, the carbon sequestration, the air pollution mitigation, you know, all the stuff that we were talking about before, those all have dollar values associated with them, and it's a 3-to-1 benefit-to-cost ratio. In general, urban trees, one of their primary stressors is just lack of water. And so, you know, we've been in a drought condition the last couple of years. This year's certainly been better. It hasn't been as hot this summer. But, you know, thinking if we don't get water or don't get a legitimate amount of rain, putting just a couple 5-gallon buckets of water around the base of your tree, slow trickle, twice a week, it's going to be pennies for you to do that. And it's going to really, really help the life of that tree.
And, you know, I was thinking, yes, they have this cost of benefit. That's great. You know, but they're also just beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, we studied urban forestry in school, but it wasn't until I got out of school and I got into the first office that I was up on the 7th floor of the Mayfair Bank Tower. I looked out towards downtown. All you see are the tree canopies. And it didn't take until that point that I realized that's the urban forest. It's a very pretty sight.
Well, I want to thank both of you for stopping by this morning. Enjoy the rest of the conference, and thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you very much.
Bonnie.
Ian Brown is an Urban Forestry Technical Services Manager and ISA Certified Arborist and Municipal Specialist for the City of Milwaukee. Eric Peterson is also a trained Urban Forestry Specialist, and he's the president of the Wisconsin Arborist Association. The International Society of Arboriculture's annual conference is going on in Milwaukee as we speak, and it will wrap up tomorrow. There's more information about urban forests from wuwm.com/lakeeffect. Stay tuned. Coming up next, we'll take a road trip to the Racine Art Museum to learn about their current exhibit that features the found object jewelry of Robert Ebendorf. Lake Effect returns with that in just a moment on Milwaukee Public Radio. ¶¶